to see all the chiefs here today, fire and police. Sheriff, you want to kick it off?
Yes, sir.
Please.
Kind of a shy individual. I don't like to.
Well, that's what I thought I'd call you
speak
first.
The microphone. I'd like to thank all the emergency services personnel that are here today, the fire chiefs, the police chiefs, staff from the sheriff's office, Brandon Roberts, and his friends that were there the night of the shooting when the deputy got shot. Here we are, basically, I'm asking the commissioners, at least Mr. Dixon and Mr. Furman, if it comes today to a vote, to vote to study our dispatching system, I'm asking you to please stop this nonsense. We've done this for 2 years. We've studied it. We've spent enough money on it. We've had three officers shot in this county in just a little over 2 years. We had a firefighter almost die on the river. There's not a day goes by. If you look at these articles in the paper, these are the kind of people we're dealing with that are in my jail and are on the street. Murderers, killers, rapists. We've got them trying to escape out of the jail, trying to take hostages. We've got them on the road shooting our police officers. This is no time to delay it and study it at the 12th hour. We've already got these machines ordered. They came in, I was told, yesterday. There's, I think, over 30 consoles. The agreements have been reached by the municipalities, the townships, the cities, the county. It took us 2 years to get this done. We've spent enough money. We've wasted enough time, and time is of the essence. We cannot afford to wait another minute. We need to get this thing rolling. We need to get it done. It's not going to be cost effective, and we surely don't need to spend any more of the taxpayers' money on studying anything that we feel that it's been studied to death, and we've all made an agreement and shook hands on it and signed the agreements, and the 12th hour attack on our safety is not warranted. So I'm asking the two of you to at least vote no on Mr. Jolivet's attempt to delay this. And also, if Mr. Furman, Mr. President, if you would allow the Police Chiefs Association president to speak on behalf of the chiefs and the Fire Chiefs Association to speak, and Matt, who is running the 911 system, to speak. They're going to be very brief, if that's with your approval, sir.
Of course. I'd like to first respond to the sheriff, if you don't mind, and to all the chiefs who are here. You know, as the sheriff so eloquently spoke last week about the horse and what he left, I know that horse has already left the barn. We can't close the barn door after the horse is out. And I'm not here to try to delay or to stop the implementation of the 800 system. It has to go forward. I know that. And I know that, you know, my time 6-7 months ago to have us study the communication system and to see if we can save taxpayers' money by having a combined system is over. We're going to be equipping the 9 dispatch centers, and that's going to go forward. There's two issues that prompted me to raise this question now for the future. And number one was in the city of Hamilton, and Middletown hasn't been too public about their finances, but the city of Hamilton has, and they've been talking about cutting police and fire, frontline officers. And it prompted me to say there's savings to be had with a combination of dispatch centers between the city of Hamilton and our dispatch centers. Again, what I mentioned in the paper today, that if we were building this from scratch, and every one of you, the chiefs and the fire chiefs, would agree that we wouldn't be building 9 different centers. We'd be down to 3 or 4, like every other county that has moved towards a combination, a combined dispatch center. You look at the county of Montgomery, who's combining with Dayton. You look at the state highway patrol. They're not building more dispatch centers. They're shrinking the size and saving money. So I'm asked the question to say, hey, let's get this study done. And I disagree with you, Sheriff, that we've studied this to death, because we haven't. The police chiefs and the fire chiefs when they were talking about 800 megahertz system, in the Kimball report, it says we should look at consolidating the 911 into a single location for a countywide dispatch of all agencies. That was a recommendation from our consultants, who did an excellent job, in my opinion, but we didn't want to follow through on that. We didn't follow through on that study. The other thing that has prompted this is that the commissioners have, you know, put the 0.5% sales tax on with the support of the law enforcement, and we told the citizens that we were going to pay for all 9 dispatch centers. We did shake hands and agree to that. We made a mistake then. I think that we should have had some tough love with all the municipalities who have dispatch centers and said, look, if you want to be a part of this dispatch system, we need to minimize the cost and look at ways in which we can save the taxpayers money. We didn't do that. We have another opportunity coming up that's going to happen in 1 or 2 years with the maintenance of this system. We, as the commissioners, need to tell each municipality that who have dispatch centers that they're going to take part in the maintenance cost. The taxpayers' money in the 0.5% sales tax went for building the system. There's no money there in that tax increase for the maintenance. And I've been told it could be $1.5 million a year. We need to start down this road to tell the municipalities in jurisdictions that have dispatch centers, this is what your cost is going to be for maintaining the dispatch centers, or looking at combining the dispatch centers into a smaller number. And the ones that come to mind are the smaller municipalities, definitely Oxford and Miami University. They should be combining theirs. I talked to an official from the Miami University who said that, well, we'd like to have our own police answer the calls. Well, I later found out that all the calls go through the city of Oxford anyway, because most of the students are using the 911 or mobile phones, cell phones. Look at Trenton and Middletown and Monroe. You know, they could easily combine their dispatch centers if it's studied and looked at. So each municipality and jurisdiction can take a look at, here's some cost savings that could be had. We're not going to sacrifice on safety, but we are going to gain efficiency and cost effectiveness. And we're going to be saving the taxpayers money through maintenance cost. So I had no intention of delaying this project, and don't spin it that way, because that's just totally not true. But I want to let this commission know that we're going to have some monetary issues combined with associated with this dispatch center, and we need to address those now and get the ball rolling to saying, okay, how are we going to pay for the maintenance down the road? And if we're serious about preaching regionalism and trying to combine with different jurisdictions, this is certainly an area which we need to take a look at. And it takes some tough love with law enforcement, because I know that it's every step of the way since we had the old call boxes that, you know, there's been, you know, hey, we've done it this way for years, and, you know, why should we change? The same with when we had separate fire and police dispatch. The technology has moved forward to allow us to dispatch from 1 or 2 or 3 locations, whatever a study would say, that would make it secure and safe. So I don't want to hear about I'm trying to delay the implementation of the system. We agreed to furnish all 9, and we're going to do that. It's unfortunate that we didn't have the tough love back when we were discussing this and did a detailed study of it and told the municipalities that, hey, you're going to pay a part of this. And then I think that the elected officials of each jurisdiction would have sat down and said, hey, you know, if we're going to have to pay for this, maybe we should take a look at combining with some other jurisdiction and save money. But when the county stepped up and said, hey, we're going to pay for all of it, there was no incentive for each municipality or jurisdiction to say, hey, we're going to, you know, take a look at this. And I think that's what has to be done in the future with regards to the maintenance. So,
Mr. President, can I respond to that, please?
Sure.
It is no spin. When you make an agreement with somebody and you sign the agreement and you tell the municipalities that it's going to be paid for out of the fund, that's an agreement that it should be stuck to. And if it's going to be undone, your word means absolutely nothing.
The maintenance, the I'm saying that I'm sticking to my word about building the system. And
you just stated that the agreement was in the beginning that the municipalities wouldn't have to pay for this. Was that the agreement?
Well, they don't have to pay for it. But for the maintenance, they should take a part of it.
But you just said that the agreement was in the beginning, I think, with everybody in this room, that tax that was put into the account would pay for that.
Would pay for the building of the system. It's not going to pay for the maintenance because the tax
has
gone on.
So it wasn't in the agreement that with everybody in this room that the maintenance would be taken care of?
Well, that's something that needs to be discussed with all jurisdictions.
We need, I guess, to undiscuss it. But I'm finished with what I'm going to say. I'm going to give everybody else a little time to speak. Hey, I appreciate you for inviting us here and having us here. And I appreciate your vote at the end of this session. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Chief?
Joe Schutte, Fire Chief in Hamilton. I'm not here to represent the fire chiefs. We have a new president, Phil Clark. He'll probably have a few words. But I do want to address something, Mr. Olivet, that you said that's inaccurate. The maintenance of the system has already been agreed to, and that's going to be paid for with part of the 0.25% income tax increase. That was agreed to in the public hearings upstairs. I have the notes back at the office, and I'll share those to remind you, Mr. Furman, you should recollect that, and Mike Fox was there then. And all of us, police, fire chief, Sheriff Jones, supported the commission in continuing the 0.25% sales tax, because part of that money was going to be used to continue paying the maintenance on that system. There was also an agreement that there's no fees to public safety on this radio system. That was done in the public hearings upstairs. And I have all those. They were presented by Tim Williams. And I have all that back at the office. I just want to clarify that today, that the maintenance of this system and public service fees in this system are not an issue right now. That's already been decided. We supported the 0.25% sales tax, because it was going to pay for maintenance on the system.
Joe, do you think we should have 9 different dispatch centers?
We're at the 12th hour with that.
We're going to build it.
We're going to build it. I mean, we should.
But do you think that we studied this?
No, we never studied that.
Okay, it's been said that we've studied this to death, but we've never studied this at all to say what is feasible technologically, cost effectiveness, without losing any safety. So without doing that, you know, if you have notes saying that, hey, we're going to pay for maintenance, then we're going to be wasting money for years and years to come, because it should be something that we should combine. Every county that is looking at this are going for a combination. So why keep on wasting money when we know that we could save money by combining the dispatch centers and maybe keeping frontline officers on the job?
Well, we're at the point now, you mentioned Hamilton and Middletown, and I would agree that each jurisdiction has got to look at what they need to do, as far as there's no way you can force other dispatchers into combining or merging or consolidating, whatever term you want to use. But what I wanted to address was the maintenance has already been agreed to by the commission. And we've got that from those public hearings, and I have, and that was part of our support. We agreed to support the continuation of the 0.25% sales tax, because it was, I forget the figure, but that part for the annual maintenance of the system comes from that 0.25%. The rest was used to help your general fund. And candidly, we knew we were being used for that at the time. We all joked about that, but it was the right thing to do to at least address the annual maintenance and upkeep on that system. So I have to disagree with you when you say that there's going to be cost to cities on that, because not the agreement.
Oh, right. There isn't going to be cost to the cities the way the agreement is now.
On maintenance.
Right.
Okay, you agree with that then? Because that's different from what you said earlier.
No. I'm saying
you said there would be
cost. There's no incentive for the municipalities or jurisdictions to look at combining their dispatch centers if the county is going to be giving them money for the maintenance. I agree with that.
You just said that wasn't the case, that the cities and municipalities ran the pony up.
No.
Yeah, that's what you
said.
I just wanted to address that.
If we wanted to change our policy with regards to maintenance, I agree with you that we gave away the store when we said, hey, we're going to pay for everything and we're going to pay for maintenance. But I'm saying that in order for a study to be done, you know, for the elected officials of each jurisdiction, if we as a commission said, hey, we're changing our policy about maintenance, that will convince the elected officials of these different jurisdictions that have dispatch centers to take a stronger look and say, hey, why aren't we looking at combining the dispatch centers? And we could save money. So
there's no change of policy on the maintenance.
But now it's on us as a commission, knowing that we could save money down the road if we combine the dispatch centers. Unless someone can prove it in a study to me, instead of just, you know, spinning that saying, oh, we've studied this to death, because we haven't. And I look to other counties to say, even though they've have different dispatch centers throughout their counties, they're combining them into one, we need to keep moving towards that. Unless someone says, hey, we need to have 9 dispatch centers in our county.
But
I understand that we agreed that we were going to pay for maintenance, but okay. That doesn't mean should continue to lose money or waste money because of that.
That was tied to our support of the 0.25% sales tax, and you got, frankly, had very, very little opposition to that because I think the taxpayers realized where a lot of that money was going for this radio system. So if you're trying to back out of that, they're not going to like, my opinion, they're not going to like to hear that. That's
but if
not
the taxpayers
right.
know that, and that's probably why we don't want to do a study, because the study would come back that, you know, we can do a communication system in our county with 3 or 4 dispatch centers and save money. You know, that's probably why there's opposition to even doing a study. I'm not pushing this. I'm just saying, hey, let's take a look at it to see if there is cost savings down the road. I understand that we made the mistake some months ago by not insisting on doing the study to combining this, because we wouldn't build 9 dispatch centers.
Okay.
With building a whole new system.
I just wanted to clarify the maintenance aspect because that is part of the agreement. Okay. Thank you.
Who else wants to speak? St. John?
Good morning. Chief Richard St. John, Fairfield Township Police Department, President of the Butler County Chiefs Association. There's really not an awful lot that I can add to this other than the fact that the Police Chiefs Association has discussed this quite extensively, and the police chiefs majority are against combining dispatch. But I would like to bring up one very obvious example that has been talked about in quite a bit, and that is the example of Hamilton County. Hamilton County Communications Center has been in existence for well over 35 years, and Hamilton County Communications Center is the 911 PSAP for most of the Hamilton County agencies, with few exceptions, of course, Cincinnati being a prime example. Nonetheless, most of the police departments in Hamilton County, in addition to the Hamilton County Communication Center, also maintain their own dispatch 24/7, because you always have those individuals who call their local agency for normal routine police and fire matters as opposed to calling 911. So I question how much savings there really would be, given the fact that with Hamilton County's example, they've been doing this for an awful lot longer than we've even thought about it, since most of those departments are still maintaining their own dispatch centers and their own phone answering system 24/7, in addition to Hamilton County Comm Center. I'm just wondering how much savings actually would be involved if we did have combined 911 dispatch here in Butler County. And an awful lot of the agencies here in Butler County use their dispatch centers as their receptionist, their desk staff, and so forth, 24/7. So those personnel are still going to be there. You know, now maybe a combined 911 system or 3 or 4 911 dispatch systems might save the county money out of the radio fund in the long run, but it's not going to save the taxpayers in general any money if the individual departments are still going to end up having to have office staff and still maintain their own dispatch. And I believe that's exactly what we would find based on the experiences of other places.
Well, that's why, you know, I agree. I'm not an expert, And that's what that, you know, the recommendation here is that we should look at combining the dispatch centers. I don't know what we're afraid of to have a study done, to look at other counties. In Hamilton County would be a perfect example to say, okay, is it working there or not? Is it working another? I mean, that's all I'm asking for is a study. If it comes back and says, hey, you know, this is a bad idea, I'll be the first one to say, let's scrap this idea. But for years and years to come, the county's on the hook for paying the maintenance for 9 different dispatch centers, which I don't think is all necessary. And I don't know for sure, but I certainly would like to do a study to see whether it is necessary.
Well, with respect, Commissioner Jolivet, in my opinion, it appears that the study was already done. It was done by Kimball, and as a county, we have all agreed not to follow that particular recommendation. So it seems to me like having another study done is duplication.
No, the only recommendation, I got it right here, is that the county may want to consider consolidating 911. I mean, there was no study. This was their recommendation about.
Presumably, Kimball made an informed decision or made an informed recommendation to that in that regard, and we opted not to do that.
Opted not to study it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the.
It appears to me like we opted not to take that recommendation based on their study.
But they're recommending that we do it.
I'm saying it appears to me we opted not to take that particular recommendation.
Well, but the recommendation wasn't based on any study that says, hey, you know, here's why we shouldn't combine our dispatch centers into, you know, 4 or 5. I mean, if someone can tell me that, you know, Miami and Oxford should have both dispatch centers, that's, you know, that doesn't make sense to me.
And again, that very well may be true. But as I said, going by Hamilton County's example, they're probably going to maintain them anyway.
Well, that'd be on their dime.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. I'd like to add something at this point, if I could. You mentioned one central dispatch center. Actually, I see that as quite a negative, and it could very well leave us vulnerable. The 911 dispatch centers, the 800 megahertz, is for Homeland Security as well as for the local police. And in the event of a terrorist event or some kind of a catastrophe, that would take out the one centrally located dispatch center, then we're in big trouble. I think the redundancy of dispatch centers is a plus in that regard. If one or two is taken out, you still have backup that could take over. And I think that's extremely important in today's world. So it's not like the various entities don't have the option, because they do. All the city managers, all the chiefs, everyone involved has that option. If they choose to combine dispatch locations, they can very well do that. We're not standing in their way to do that. But I wanted to introduce that because I've read that in several reports as well. So,
well, I'm not.
It does make sense,
Chuck. I'm not advocating just one dispatch center. You know, the study would determine how many we would need to have a secure system. But what we just heard is that some municipalities have dispatchers out answering calls to the public and having people come up. That's not very secure with regards to Homeland Security. So they may want to take a look at that, you know, if their dispatch person is also accessible to the public, that does lend itself to some type of security problem, I would think. But I would never envision having just one center. I would think 3 or 4 would be quite capable.
Who else? Someone else wanted to speak?
Phil Clark with the Butler County Fire Chiefs Association. I'm the president. And the fire chiefs have been going through this for 14 years. I've been on the Chiefs Association 14 years. Worked with it with Irene Lewis when Irene Lewis was here. And we all think if the municipalities wants to combine, leave it up to them. Leave it alone. Let's get rolling. Let's get it fired up and go on with the future. And I'm the one that made the motion to back the 4.25% sales tax for the maintenance. And I don't want to have to go back on my motion.
No, you won't have to go back. But that's you know, as the crux of the problem goes back to when you say municipalities want to make their own decision, they can. But why would they if the county has agreed to pay for everything? You know, if I'm wearing a city councilman's hat on, I'd say, hey, great, county, go ahead, pay for it and pay for the maintenance. There's no reason for me to try to, you know, to save money. But I'm entrusted to having Butler County tax dollars. And when I know that there's a possibility for some savings, and I'm not even willing to look at studying that to see where the savings are, then it's shame on me.
They could save money as well for personnel, Greg, if they chose to do that. So it's not like it's just strictly maintenance that they'd be looking at. Mm-hmm. So there are several issues, and it's up to them if they choose, in my view. Anyone else wish to speak at this time?
Matt?
Morning, Commissioners. Matt Franke, the project manager. I just wanted to kind of give you an update. The consoles are here in the county now, and we're moving forward with that. We're a little behind on providing the connectivity with the fiber. We'd hope to have that completed by the end of June, and we're actually just out to bid now on it because of some delays that we've experienced there. We don't have the participation agreements completed yet. That's been somewhat of a challenge because we haven't really done anything like this before, and Gary's working very hard, and the prosecutor's office has been involved in a lot of these legal matters, and those all still have to be completed before we can start bringing the agencies on. And so my concern is that, even though I know you don't have any intention of delaying the project, is that if people infer that there is some change afoot, if that delays us there. And so I think that it has to be made very clear that we are proceeding as planned and as said at this point, so that we can continue, get all those legal documents in place, because we still have to do the licensing sharing agreements with Westchester and Oxford, and those are in the works right now to do that. And so that's the concern. It's been said we're at the 12th hour. I certainly hope not, because if we are, then I'm really behind. And I'd like to think we're somewhere around 10 o'clock right now, and I've got a little bit of time to catch up on some of the connectivity issues. But I believe we can still have the system on before the end of the year, as promised. The sheriff and all the chiefs are very anxious to have this radio system in place for the safety of their personnel and the safety of the public, as they've said before. And with where we are now, I just want to make sure that we continue to move forward. If this is something you want to look at for the future, then I think that needs to be clearly defined so that the present can continue on as everyone believes it has been, or everyone believes it will be, in that. And at this point, we've purchased all the consoles. We can't purchase any fewer. They're here. We've paid for them. We can't really make any cost savings at this point in the project.
I'm completely understand that. Okay. And it wasn't my intention to try to delay this, as some people want to, you know, point out and try to make a point on. That's not my intent. I knew that, you know, my window to have us study this happened, you know, several months ago, when it was said, well, it's too late. But, you know, it was clearly wasn't too late to study it back then, and we would have had, you know, the information before us. And the consoles being purchased, you know, if, say, Miami and Oxford said, hey, we're going to combine our systems, we could probably sell those consoles back to, or get credit for them, or keep them in storage for maintenance if one would go down, I would think. But what's, you know, the participation agreement, what does that mean?
Well, that's just the legal aspect that we have to go through, because the radio equipment was purchased through the sales tax, and so it's property of the county, and there's legal requirements where the county can't use a sales tax to purchase property and then just give it to other governments. And you're asking the wrong person for the definitive legal answer. But that's one of the things that we had to work through as a way for this equipment to be transferred over for use by by other governments in the process. And so that's where this all initiated. The participation agreement will also include the local governments agreeing to operate by the rules of the system, since everyone's going to be utilizing the one that everybody understands that this is how it's going to work in that situation. So it's really the legal document necessary to provide them the radio equipment, and it's the one that will also make sure that everybody is agreed with all these people sharing the radio system that everyone is going to work together for the good of the community in that sense.
The combining, the consolidation of the codes and communication, the language, how is that coming?
It's progressing.
Yeah. So each jurisdiction will be talking the same language, right?
That's still under discussion. I mean, different facets of it. The fire chiefs have adopted I guess I would call it a common numbering system to renumber their stations to avoid conflict there, and they're working on, you know, language in that sense. The police chiefs have also initiated conversations to work on the common factors that affect them.
So we are consolidating some things.
They are. Those things are, yeah, thank you, your word. Those things are in progress, yes, sir.
Thanks, Matt.
Anyone else wish to speak this morning? I hope that this give and take we've had here today does not cast any shadows on the importance of the countywide 800 megahertz system. It's very exciting to know that it's this close. It's been a long time coming, a long time needed. It's extremely important for the safety of our citizens as well as for the safety of our officers, the chiefs you see here, and all their men throughout the county, and the frontline people, first responders, and so on. It's extremely important. It is exciting, and we'll move on with the project. So do you want to?
I don't think I have support to make the motion.
Well, Mr. President, I got a quick comment, maybe two, Dixon? And maybe three. First of all, I totally disagree that we missed the window. And I'm saying we, because I'm here now, but I wasn't here when all this happened. We didn't miss the window a few months ago. We missed the window a few years ago. And, you know, I've read the editorial, and the last one was written about the commissioners, about how we wouldn't even study the concept. Well, look, this started out being $22 million. Today it's $36 million, and we don't quite know where it's going to end up. But I can tell you that it's pretty much taking all the income tax or sales tax, not income tax, but sales tax revenue. But look, from where I stand, a deal's a deal, okay? Now, if we want to change that deal, you know, then we have to sit down with you and convince you of the need to do that. And so I think the window was maybe a couple years ago. And why would I do a study now when the consoles, the equipment's been here, it's been ordered, we've been committed for years. Everybody's made provisions for them. They've staffed for them. And the important thing is we can have the studies all day long, but unless we have the support of the fire chiefs and the police chiefs and the municipalities and the governmental entities out there, we're not going to put anything together. We can't tell you all how you're going to run your municipalities, your governmental entities. So that's part of working through this and working together. And Greg, you said, well, if we really believe in regionalism, well, I believe in it. And I think this is just one of the issues that we need to move forward and look to the future on. I intend to ask for a regional committee made up of a large group of people just to talk about issues like this and plan for the future. But that's not a year or 2 years. I mean, we're talking decades. I mean, we need to be looking forward. This is a start. We spent a lot of money, and I think we could have maybe spent a little better. But you know, hindsight's 20/20. We had a need. There was a, you know, that we saw the need. There was a safety issue there. And I understand why everybody moved forward quickly. So we need to make the best of what we got, and I think we got the top of the line system. We got something that we can build to the future on. But this isn't going to be changed today. It's too late. It wasn't going to be changed 6 months ago. It was too late. When I first got here, the question was put on the table then. I went and talked to the trustees. I talked to the chiefs. I talked to the fire chiefs. I talked to the council people. And they're all under the same impression. Look, we supported that county sales tax so we could have this system no cost, no maintenance. And that's why they did it. So I guess we're asking to study whether we should undo our commitment. I think we're way past that. And Greg, I understand what you're saying, and I think there's a way that we can work to make this system better. And I think just regionalism and I think pure finances will lead this system to one day come closer together. And I mean, will it be one or two or five or seven? I don't know. But this is the start. And I just don't see where this is benefiting any of us to get another editorial in the paper saying the commissioners are scared to do the study. I'm not scared to do the study, you know, but I don't need a study to tell me that I should have studied it before I did it, before $36 million was spent. Now, do I want to spend another $25,000 or $50,000 for another study when I don't have anybody in support of it? And I can lay the study on the desk and say, here it is. It says we need to have seven. And everybody out there says we want our own. I think that's a waste of money when you look at the whole big picture. And I think we're moving in that direction. But it's tiny steps. And this is the beginning. It's here. We bought it. It's a great system. Yes, we spent a lot of money on it. Is it going to save lives? Absolutely. Is it going to be better for our taxpayers? Absolutely. Can we make it better? We can make everything in government better. This is the beginning. So I think we need to focus in the future how to make it better, how to make it all work. And I think your comments will come into play, and some of that will be in and some won't. But a deal's a deal. And in my position is, you know, we move forward with what we got and we stick with our commitment.
I agree with you, but also, you know, when you say that the window was some years ago, you know, we didn't have the wherewithal to be able to go to the public to say that, you know, hey, we want a new, we want 30 or 22 million or $35 million for a radio system. You know, I agree that we made the mistake back when we were, when we talked about this, and I understand the politics of moving forward fast. But we made a grave mistake by not including the municipalities and the jurisdictions who had the dispatch centers to say, look, you're going to share in this cost. And that was, and I'll take blame for that, not pushing, but I didn't have support on the commission then. And even when you came on board, when I brought it up again, there was still plenty of time before we bought the consoles. But now that window has closed and we have bought the consoles. But with the city of Hamilton saying that they have financial problems, and if we did have a study to say, hey, the city of Hamilton can combine with the sheriff's department or Fairfield or Westchester, that would be there for each municipality and jurisdiction to take a look at. But we don't have that. We're not even moving towards a consult or a knowledge decision by the municipalities or jurisdictions to make that decision, because we haven't done the study to say, hey, it makes sense for us to combine this to four dispatch centers. They can't even make that credible or knowledgeable decision if they wanted to.
Well, I think they did make that decision. When Kimball did the study, one of their recommendations was a suggestion that you might want to combine dispatch centers. And the whole group, as a group, looked at that, the ones that are going to make the decision, and said, we don't want to do that. Now, that's a decision. That's a study.
But it wasn't based on any definitive study to saying that is it feasible to do. Is it feasible to combine? Because I go back to the original statement. We wouldn't be building 9 dispatch centers if we were starting from scratch. We just wouldn't do it.
We shouldn't have been, but we did. They're bought. They're here. We made the deal.
I'm not saying we're going to delay it.
A lot of professionals here that run their own departments, and I think they know, and they're working for their citizens and the various city managers, et cetera, and I think they know what's best for their particular area, and that's all been discussed and hashed, and that's where we are now. So I don't know that it was a mistake, and I think that the system's going to be worth every dime of it when you think of the potential for the safety of the people and the lives it'll save. So I think at this point we need to move on. So either you want to make the motion?
Well, no, I don't think I want to make the motion. I can count.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the chiefs coming in and the sheriff, because, you know, I don't want to delay this project, but I want to save money down the road and have, you know, efficiency. And that's what I'm trying to do. Is down the road that we should, you know, I don't want us to say, well, in the future, like Montgomery County is doing with the city of Dayton, they're saying, hey, we're going to look at, you know, combining our systems. And all the different municipalities and jurisdictions that are on that regional system with Montgomery County, that's what we should be looking at. And I don't want to be, you know, put this so hardened that, you know, no one's willing to take another look at it, because I think that each jurisdiction needs to take a look at how much money they're spending on the dispatch centers and saying, can we save money and keep the safety and efficiency in the system? And that's where I think each jurisdiction, as well as us, need to continue to keep looking at that.
I do have one question, Mr. President, if you'd just indulge me here for a minute. Matt, what would have happened? Where's Matt? What would have happened when this issue came up a few months ago, that we said we want to do this study? What would that have what would that done to your system, and how would that affected the outcome of as where we are today?
Sorry, I'm not sure I follow. As far as the timing, or as
well, Greg the said that or? Greg said that the we could have fixed it a few months ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my understanding was that we were committed to the equipment.
We placed a first equipment order for the consoles about halfway through last year, and then the second one at the end of last year.
What would that have done to you getting the system up and going if we had right then said, would it have delayed it? Would it have made it faster? If you could speculate, where would we be today if we had done that?
Pure speculation. If we would have done this last year, it wouldn't have really impacted the timeline of the study, provided we did it in a timely fashion.
And it wouldn't have impacted the operation. I mean, we wouldn't have had any delay time. We would be exactly where we are today.
Well, asking me to speculate, yeah. If we would have started it last calendar year, I mean, and completed it last calendar year, and the recommendations would have went out and decisions could have been made last calendar year, then that wouldn't have delayed the project.
And you think we would have had this study done, so you would not order the equipment while we were doing this study. All the municipalities would have been trying to get together, decide how they're going to not cooperate. And as I see here today, you got the whole room full, everybody that's using it, and they don't want to do it. How would we have been in the same place today as we would have been if we had done that study? If we had just said, look, we're going to redo this, here's the deal. We're not going to pay for the maintenance. We're going to go to one. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That would have made any delay.
Well, yeah, now you're throwing in the maintenance costs and that. I have difficulty even beginning to speculate on that one, because that's a big dollar figure. That's over $1 million, $1.5 million to maintain the system once it's up and going. I think your statement was correct. If we would have done this before we initiated the project, that would have been the proper time to do something along this. If you're asking me if we could have done this earlier in the project timeline and possibly pulled it off, then yeah, that would have been a possibility. At this point, we can't really. At this point, you know, we're kind of painting the interior walls. It's kind of hard to go back and say, well, we should have done, you know, 2x6 walls instead of 2x4 walls. And I think that's what the concern is that if there's a change at this point. But we're talking about the consoles, which are attached to the radio system. This really has an impact at the network itself and all the towers and that part of the system.
Mr. Dixon, thank you. Comment on that?
Sure.
I don't know that Matt is getting exactly what you're asking. I believe I know what you're asking. If you would have done this a year ago, it would have wreaked panic across the city of Hamilton, Middletown, Trenton. They would have all bailed. We're reneging on our deal. You were going to do this. Now you're not going to do it. It would have deadlocked us. I can tell you that right now. He's from the technical side of building towers. I'm from the practical side of dealing with city governments. And it's somewhat insulting that cities aren't smart enough to figure out what they can do with their dispatch center. Already, when you talk about Hamilton, they started a discussion with the county about that. They're smart enough to do that. If you pull the funding of the maintenance agreement, everybody's going to fall into chaos. And that's what's already happened. That's why you have the support here. Just these talks of changing the goalpost are having a rippling effect of trying to get these agreements signed. Would you agree to that? People are a little nervous about signing these participation agreements when all of a sudden maybe in a month we're going to change that we're not going to pay for those, if that's a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
And I see that. That's why all these people are here, because now all of a sudden they're nervous that the commission is going to change their word that they banked on years ago, and it's the wheels are going to fall off of it. Is that a little bit clear?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought.
Any other questions you have on that? Mr. Furman?
No, Chief. I think that the citizens have overwhelmingly shown that they support this system and they want it, they need it, they understand the need, and I think it's time to move on with it. So.
I agree. And just with the cities that are involved that are having these PSAPs, you know, they have council members also that are very articulate and smart about their own cities. If they want to get together in Middletown and decide that the cost of their dispatchers, the labor costs, et cetera, you know, are excessive and they want to combine with Monroe or something else, Monroe can do the same thing. They're smart enough, I think, to do that, to try and save themselves money. And then if that does happen, it will obviously save on maintenance costs, because there will be merging, but it's right. too late, too much done now.
I agree that it's too late now, and I admitted that was a mistake back
then.
Why are we
proposing a study if you agree it's too late? Why are you even doing it?
Because we still have, you know, we still can look at combining and be able to show them the proof, show the municipalities and the jurisdiction the proof that there's cost savings to be had.
But I think everyone knows that in their own municipalities, and that's I think it's just insulting for you to say a study to say we could save money. I think everyone knows their own dispatch centers and combining and how that could affect them, and it's their decisions.
Well, the trend throughout the state is to consolidate into regional dispatch centers.
And I understand that, but where a decision was made some time ago, and then to come in at this moment and say, well, I want another study, is the part that's raising. That's why even you said yourself, I know it's too late. Then why are we here? If you know it's too late, why were you even presenting that? My question, if you know it's too late, why present it now?
There's two reasons, because the maintenance cost of going forward, and the other one was the city of Hamilton saying that they're talking about laying off police and fire.
And that's my point, why it's moot, what you're saying, because the decision about the maintenance cost has already been made, and Hamilton approached us about combining and saving money. That's their choice. So it's a moot point. So thank you very much.
Well, again, we appreciate very much your attendance. Good to see all of you. Welcome anytime, obviously. We're going to continue with the meeting. If you care to stay, you're more than welcome. If you choose to leave at this time, then you may do so. But we really appreciate your attendance. Did we approve the motion?
And I'm not going to make a motion to study this. Mr. President? I move that we approve the minutes June 5th and also approve the grant approvals, or should they be separate? Can they be separate motions or combined?
Separate motions.
Okay. I move that the minutes be approved.
Second.
Commissioner Jalabet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
I move that we approve the grant approval to maintain records of proceedings by electronic means.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Well, you do one of those, you tricked me.
At this time, I have a proclamation here for the foster children graduates for the outstanding achievement. And if I may, I'll read this first before you. Whereas more than 500,000 children in the United States are living in foster care or some other type of out-of-home care setting because of abuse and neglect. And whereas 20% of the youth in foster care in the United States are over the age of 16, and of the 287,000 children leaving the foster care system in 2005, more than 2,400 children aged out of the system. And whereas in 2007, at any given point in time, 362 Butler County children were living in foster care or some other setting outside the home because of abuse and neglect. 28 Butler County children aged out of foster care system in 2007. And whereas at this time of year when our community comes together to celebrate the graduation of our young men and women from high school, we, the Butler County Commissioners, want to recognize the exceptional achievement of 14 of our foster youths. And whereas nationally, youth in foster care have a 33% chance of graduating from high school or getting a GED, 20% below the graduation rates of their peers. And whereas youth in foster care often move from home to home and therefore school to school, many struggle to keep up adjusting to new teachers, new classes, new classmates, all while coping with the effects of abuse and neglect. Studies show that students who change schools even once are less than half as likely to graduate. Between 26 and 40% of the children in foster care will have to repeat a grade. And whereas 14 exceptional Butler County teens have overcome extraordinary obstacles to graduate from high school or to obtain a GED, we, the County Commissioners and the citizens of Butler County, congratulate each one of these outstanding young people. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, Charles R. Furman, Donald L. Dixon, and Gregory V. Jolivet, Commissioners of Butler County, Ohio, do hereby proclaim Thursday, June 12, 2008, as Foster Child Graduation Day in Butler County, Ohio, in honor of Heather, Michelle, Michael, Rashawn, Chantel, Sarah, Maybelline, Ronald, Jordan, Caitlin, Kelly, Jonathan, Julia, and David, and offer our best wishes on their graduation day. Would you like to say anything when you accept this?
Well, actually, I'd like to introduce, if I could, Abby Sexton and Kelly Schoenhall. They're the supervisors, but also I'd like to introduce you to Julia. Julia is one of our graduates.
Great.
Congratulations.
She's come here today, and I have to tell you, we do a lot of things, but this is one of the neatest things we do. These are kids who've grown up in our system, essentially, and we talk a lot about them being our community's kids, but they really are. When they age out of the system, they're our kids. So it's Julia's graduation day.
Well, you've come a long way and accomplished a lot, and we really wish you the very best of everything. It's we're really proud of you.
Julia, get the proclamation.
That'd be great. Yeah.
She's going to Shawnee State University.
In the hybrid program, upstairs are getting a call.
This is Greg Jolivet.
Hi. How are you? Congratulations.
Greg Jolivet and Tim Williams.
Congratulations.
Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank
you. The reason we can do this is your support.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The other proclamations are good.
Thank you.
Thanks. And the same thing, if you wish to stay for the meeting, you're more than welcome, but if you'd like to leave, you may do so.
That's because nobody wants to stay.
Nobody wants to stay, I know you're right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Congratulations. Move on to communications, please.
Sure. We'll be pulling two resolutions. One under the Environmental Services, it's the second listed resolution for a change order for further review, and then one under the first resolution under miscellaneous for awarding a landscaping project. We're pulling that for further review. So other than that, we will go through the resolutions. There are seven travel resolutions requested for your approval. First is for Deputy Darren Rhodes, the Sheriff's Office, for dual-purpose narcotics dog training, Denver, Indiana, $7,316. Next is from the Sheriff's Office, Mike Kraft, Mr. Fisher, Smith, Hall, and Bruchette for Advanced Crisis Negotiation Training, Columbus, Ohio, $1,346. Next, Jennifer Evans from Juvenile Rehab for the ACA Mock Audit, New Lexington, Ohio, $250. Next, from Children's Services, we have Lucinda Buckley to attend the user group for the Child Welfare Financial Training, Newark, Ohio, $278. Next, Ashley Milwe, Domestic Relations, to attend Parent Coordination Helping Hand Conflict Resolution in Chicago, Illinois, $1,275. Next, Barb Fabello, Sherry Cremis, Pam Klink from Job and Family Services to attend a user group for the software package QLC, Newark, Ohio, $700. Next is a date change for a previously approved resolution for Raymer, Baker, and Simpson from Environmental Services to attend CMAX training in Tampa, Ohio.
Tampa, Florida.
Boy, that's the second time I did this.
I'd rather be Tampa.
All right, next we have a finance resolution.
Sure, copies.
First is to reclass $300 between two accounts in the general fund for economic development. Next, we have three adjustments to increase the appropriations for the Sheriff's Department in amount of $3,840, $668, and $55 to allow for overtime caused by the court remodel project. Next, we have transfers to the court remodel project in amount of $5,529 and $16,470, as well as an increase in appropriations budget for the court remodel project in the same amounts under Fund 2025. Next, under Job Family Services and Children's Services, we have a total reduction in budget of $1,400,900 and then an increase in budget of $991,765 for a net decrease of approximately $500,000 as these two agencies continue to look at their budgets and consolidate their budgets under a single entity rather than separate entities. Next, the sewer capacity fund, $3,000 increase in budget for stormwater elimination program expense not originally budgeted. Next, in the water fund, fund 4100, an increase of $1,840 for the refund of a permit fee. Next is the Butler Regional Airport, a reclassification between two accounts in order to accommodate a travel request. And finally, under the fuel depot, a transfer between two accounts in order to purchase fuel. Next, under finance, we have an increase, an amended official certificate of estimated resources for fund number 2000 in the amount of $93,360, and then for the court remodeling fund for $16,670. Now, as we move into personnel, I have to take a deep breath. First is to rescind a pay adjustment for Clayton Callahan. Next is to accept and place on file the employee's payroll for Job and Family Services. This payroll changes in rates have been reconciled back to previously approved resolutions in order to account for all the changes in their actual payroll paid. Next, we have Tatis Stampler, bargaining unit employee, Job and Family Services, getting an increase to step two to the amount of $11.96 effective June 7th, a 3.1% increase. Next, Melissa Pate, Social Worker One, bargaining unit employee, received in Job and Family Services, receiving a step increase to $16.15 an hour, effective June 7th, 3.1% increase. Next, Kimberly Bryant, a collective bargaining unit person in the Children's Services, will receive a step increase to $18.06, effective May 31, a 3.4% increase. Next, Melissa Gardner, who is with Children's Services Bargaining Unit, step increase to $22.92, effective May 25th, a 3.3% increase. Next, we have Anissa Burns, who is a bargaining unit employee, Children's Services, Social Services Worker 4, step increase to $20.43, effective May 31, a 3.3% increase. Next, Kristen Gardner, Children's Services, a collective bargaining unit employee, Social Services Worker 4, step increase to $24.12, effective May 31, a 3.4% increase. Next, Susan Bond, Children's Services, a bargaining unit, a Social Services Worker 2, a license pay adjustment to $16.46, effective May 28th, a 4.1% increase. Next, we have April Fong, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services 2, a license pay increase or adjustment to $17.99, effective May 24th, a 3.9% increase. Next, John Stringer, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, step increase to $17.97, effective June 1, a 3.3% increase. Next, Joe Burns, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, step increase to $17.97, effective June 1, 3.3%. Next, Allison Foster, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, step increase to $17.39, effective June 1. Next, Andrea William Parks, Children's Services, Social Services Worker 3, bargaining unit, a step increase to $17.97, effective June 1, 3.3%. Next, we have Mary Hall, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, step increase to $19.83, effective May 4th, to 3.3%. Next, Chelsea Bennett, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, step increase to $19.01, effective June 4th, 3.3% increase. Next, Tiffany Waldo, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 3, educational adjustment, adjustment to $22.43, effective May 18, a 5.9% increase. Next, we have Michelle Davis, Children's Services, reassigned to Social Services Worker 4 on a temporary basis at a rate of $19.64, $17.97, effective May 24th. Next, we have Aaron Vogel, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Supervisor, step increase or being reclassified to Social Services Worker 4 and to a rate of $25.40, effective June 1. Next, we have Kieta Lee, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 4, to $25.28, effective May 18th, a 5.5% increase. Next, Melissa Gardner, Children's Services, bargaining unit employee, Social Services 4, educational pay adjustment to $22.18, a 5.7% increase. Next, we have Karen Minhart, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 4, step increase to $22.42, effective June 4th, a 3.4% increase. Next, Aaron Blanton, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 4, to $21.82, June 5th, 3.3%. Next, Caitlin Bassana, Children's Services, Social Services Worker 4, bargaining unit, step increase to $22.18, 3.3%. Next, Julie Kelly, Children's Services, bargaining unit, Social Services Worker 4, step increase to $21.69, effective May 31. Next, Cheryl Karate, Children's Services Financial Specialist, bargaining unit step increase to $17.46, effective June 4th, a 3.4% increase. Next, Cynthia Slaughter, administrative assistant, children's services, bargain unit step increase to $17.61, effective May 25th, 3.3%. Next, Sylvia Simfley, retirement resignation as telephone operator receptionist, children's services, effective June 1, 08. Next, Earl Murphy, environmental services, wastewater, a license bonus of 58 cents an hour under the OEPA class 2 operator, works license effective June 7th. That is a 2.8% increase. Next, Ted Lunsford, environmental services, a wastewater operator, 29-cent increase for license. Okay. And that is a 1.5% increase. Next, accept